All right. Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to have a very brief message here, a good reminder for us. We're going into the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. But Joshua chapter 6, turn to Joshua chapter 6 tonight. And we're going to look at verse 16 all the way through to chapter 7, verse 1. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, we have a command in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to, I'll turn my microphone on, are to examine, let a man examine himself. That also we know that it's a command of Scripture. David said, "Search my heart, O God, try me and know my thoughts." So we're to examine ourselves of any sin that is in our life before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Also, we are to ask the Lord, is there any hidden sin hidden from my eyes that are hidden from my understanding that I have trespassed against you? And tonight we're going to have a very brief message. And Joshua chapter 6, if you're familiar with it, is the account of Achan. We're going to read that very briefly. And the consequence of sin, Achan's sin, it was a secret sin. No one knew that he had committed it. Maybe his wife, but it doesn't even seem that no one in his family knew what he had done. And it affected an entire nation. It affected an entire group of people. And actually, others died as a result of Achan's sin. And simply this, that God had given an instruction as they went to Jericho, and Achan did not heed the instruction of God. And we have many times diminished, does the sin of one person, does it really have an effect on anybody else? The answer very simply is yes, it does. And so, well, my sin is my personal problem, it's my personal sin, it doesn't affect anybody else. And let me ask another question, does the sin of one person in the house of God, does it affect the church? You know what you hear over and over again? You hear, no, it doesn't. It doesn't affect the house of God. Unfortunately, that is not true. As we look through the epistles, all through the Word of God, and that's why it's important that we understand how to deal with sin. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. How do I deal with sin in my life? We'll need a good reminder about that. Look at Joshua chapter 6 and verse 16. Joshua chapter 6, if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16, we'll read through down to the end into chapter 7. And we see this unfold, what happens here, beginning verse 16. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, and as ye swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now verse number 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Father, we thank you, dear Lord, tonight for all that you have accomplished in our life and all that you have done. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be honest with you and honest with ourselves in regard to sin, in regards to what may be lurking in our life, in our heart, in our mind, whatever, Lord, it may be that we confess and forsake it tonight. And Lord, that we be reminded how to deal with sin. For Lord, sin is a deadly poison. Sin is a deadly snake that must be chopped off at the head, that must be removed, dear Lord. And you enable us to do that as your people. And I pray that tonight we'd be willing to do that and that we would be conscious of what we need, what needs to be done. I pray, Lord, that you would bless and help us this evening. Give me the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How do I deal with sin in my life? Tonight got three very simple points. But here we see that Achan, it doesn't explain in verse number one what he took, but we do look down that there was a consequence for Achan's sin. So we see the stage is set in chapter 7 in verse number 1 that one person out of all the soldiers, out of all the hosts of Israel, had trespassed against the Lord. Now, there was no excuse for what he had did. What he had done. Sorry, those you grammar people out there, I said, what in the world happened there? What he had done. And so we see very clearly that he had taken of the accursed thing. We find out that he had taken a wedge of gold. He had taken a goodly Babylonian garment. He had taken that. And he had actually done two trespasses. The first being he had stolen from God, because all the gold, the silver, and the brass were to go into the treasury of the Lord. But it wasn't for personal use. So he took that, what God needed and what God deserved and what God commanded to be given to him, he robbed God. But then also he took up a Babylonian garment. And so there's some question, why was God so concerned about not taking anything from Jericho? Because this nation was a pagan nation, and that all that they had was accursed and defiled. Also, very simply, God did not want them to become materialistic, that they would, like the other nations, they would go in and they would take all that they had and that they would just take it and use it. But God said, no, that you are a separate people. You are holy people. Now, there were certain situations throughout Israel that God told them to take them. But if you notice, whenever they told them to take things, most times, not all times, but most times, they went into the treasury of the Lord. If it was gold or if it was animals, was for sacrifice unto the Lord. But usually everything was wiped out. Everything was completely destroyed. The memory of that people was destroyed from the face of the earth. Why? Because they had rejected God. And so they were commanded. And Achan couldn't have said, well, I didn't hear that. Right before they blew the trumpet, most of the time in the stories that we hear in Sunday school, we hear that Joshua told them to blow the trumpet and to shout, and the walls fell down flat. They leave out the command that Joshua told them right before they went in. Don't take of anything that is here. You have certain instructions. Follow them. But Achan decided he saw it. And we see as we continue on, we see the consequence beginning in verse number 2 of chapter 7. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, where they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth and upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. Now, we see verse 10, Joshua gives a prayer unto the Lord. So what, baby, what's going on? You brought us here. What is going on? Verse number 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they all have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So had taken the accursed thing and stolen from God. So right here, and then we go down and they go through a process of finding who had done it. And then verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So confess this sin. Right here, you're like, wow, that's great. He confessed his sin. And we're so thankful that he did. However, there were still consequences for his sin. I don't think that he thought that he was going to be stoned for it. I don't think that he thought that his family and children were going to receive the consequence for his sin. And so, wait a minute. Well, we live in the age of grace. I know that we do. But doesn't Jesus Christ forgive us from sin? Yes, he doesn't save us from consequences of our sin. He saves us from the penalty. There's consequences for our sin, far-reaching effects. He doesn't save us from that. Amen. He saves us from the penalty of sin. There's a difference there. And yes, I understand he saves us from the past. That cleanses us, but the past and the sin has far-reaching consequences. Now, there are times in the mercy of God that he does not allow the consequences to come to fruition, that he does by his grace and his mercy, and we're thankful for that. But at the same time, we should not presume upon the grace and mercy of God. Well, God loves me. He's not going to let these bad things happen. He's not going to let these bad consequences happen. We know the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sow unto the Spirit, he shall reap life eternal. And so tonight, if there are things that have been planted in our life that are sinful, that are not according to the Word of God, and we are made aware that they are sin, how do we deal with this? How could Achan avoid this problem? Well, the first point is this. Leave it, not take it. Leave it, not take it. He saw something. He saw that gold and that silver and that Babylonian garment. He saw it just lying there. They were going house to house, and they were destroying the city, and they were going through. They were searching for things to put into the treasury of God. And they were searching for the things that they were supposed to. And in that place, he saw that silver and that gold, and the devil whispered in his ear, wouldn't that be nice to have a little extra money? Wouldn't that be nice to have a little extra money? And wouldn't it be nice to have that Babylonian garment? He says, well, how do they know it was a Babylonian garment? Because it looked Babylonian. They had a certain look to it. It was a fine Babylonian garment. And you know what ended up happening with that? Because it was a secret, he had to bury it in the ground. You know why? Because people said, where'd you get that, Achan? He couldn't even wear it. But he wanted it. Maybe he would go into his tent at night and he would dig up that thing, and he'd sit in his tent and he put on that Babylonian garment and say, this looks nice. He couldn't show it to anybody because of secret sin. But he maybe put that on there and said, man, I look nice. Man, whenever I go travel somewhere, I'll put this on. I'll be a somebody. Maybe I'll throw around a little bit of this silver and say, look at the big chunk of gold that I have. I have a little bit of extra money. And maybe he's thinking, no, I can't do that. I can't sin against God. I can't sin against the command that God gave. And the devil says, well, who's going to know about it? The rest of the city. You know, you can just slip it out, put it in this bag and just slip it out. No one's going to know. Everyone else is busy. No one's going to know. He says, you know, that's right. No one would know. I could hide it, and then I could invest it, and maybe I could buy myself a nice little, hold on a second. God was going to give it all to him. He didn't need money. He didn't need a garment. All of those things they did not need, because God had caused their clothes not to wear out for 40 years in the wilderness. Their shoes and their clothes did not wear out. They had been trusting in the provision of God. God was providing everything for them. This is right after God had provided the victory. God had flattened the walls. They go right in, and this man decides, well, I'm just going to take some things for myself. No one's going to know. Went to his tent, buried in his tent. We don't know if his wife knew. We're under the impression that she did not. that the household didn't know. Went and hid it, buried it in the tent. No one's going to know. One problem. God sees and knows everything. And the instruction was given before they destroyed the city that if you take anything, then you're going to make yourself accursed and you're going to make all of Israel a reproach and a curse. So they knew that if they took it, it was going to have far-reaching consequences. And then we see in the beginning part of chapter 7 that Joshua gets confident. Notice he always asked the Lord before he went up to battle with somebody. He didn't this time. He just went up there and he sent a spy. They got a shot in the arm of confidence. Man, they had just wiped out Jericho. Excuse me, God had wiped out Jericho. And so they go up to Ai and said, Joshua, you only need 2,000 or 3,000. They're not a lot of people. We can take care of this. He says, sure, go take the 2,000 or 3,000. This is going to be easy pickings. We're going to take care of these people. Guess what? If he had prayed, God would have told him what was wrong. 36 men died. 36 men didn't need to die. Because if Joshua had prayed, then God would have told them not to go up, but to take care of the sin. It's always important to pray. We shouldn't get ahead of God and get in a hurry. Joshua got in a hurry here. But here, Achan had a decision to make. He should have left it, not take it. When we're tempted to take that which God has commanded us not to do, we need to call upon the God of heaven and refuse to take it. Just as Joseph fled from sin. Joseph was presented with a very hard situation being a young man, tempted with sexual sin. And he just said, how can I do this great sin in the sight of my God? And he ran. He ran away. He wasn't going to stick around. Guess we know Achan should have done. He should have run right out of that house and said, no, I'm not going to sin against my God. There's always a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God always makes a way of escape. There's always a way to escape temptation. Don't say, well, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could have. God provided a way for you to escape. You know what? You know, half the time when we're tempted is because we're someplace we're not supposed to be anyway. Amen. We're not doing something that we're supposed to be doing, or we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing, or we're not doing something we're supposed to be. That's what happened to David. David wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and he got tempted. And he decided, well, I'm the king, I'm somebody, I can go do this. Achan had a choice to make. He knew the command of God. It was not a sin of ignorance. The instructions were clear. He thought that he could get away with it. No one can get away with sin. Our sin has consequences. So leave it. Don't take it. Well, what's the second lesson we can learn here? But what if we do take it? What if we have trespassed against God? Number two, confess it, not hide it. Confess it, not hide it. When we have sinned, we need to confess our sin before the Lord. We see 1 John 1:9 was quoted tonight. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful promise? That He'll cleanse us and He'll forgive us? There's forgiveness with God. There's grace with God. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. But when we have sinned, we need to confess our sin before the Lord. Nothing is worse than refusing to confess sin before the Lord God. Our pride will keep us from admitting our sin. Cain didn't admit a sin. Amen. When God confronted him and was gently confronting him, telling sin was at the door, but he did not confess his sin of disobedience in the sacrifice to the Lord. He didn't confess. He just said, I've done something wrong. He was just mad about it. He was rebellious about it. You know, because he was just mad that he got in trouble for it. He wasn't upset. He wasn't confessed. He wasn't one bit repentant over anything that he had done. He was just mad about it. He didn't like the way it was going. Cain didn't admit his sin. David did not admit his sin right away either. He went over a year in sin, would not confess it until Nathan said, thou art the man. Then he confessed his sin. You know why? Because David knew something about God that you can't get away with sin with God. The question, why would we want to? We need to confess and forsake our sin. God wants to forgive us. But when we hide it from Him in our hearts, God will judge. God will judge, as God did with David, as God did with Achan. Achan was judged before the Lord. He said, well, wait a minute. But Achan confessed his sin. Hold on a second. Achan confessed his sin when he was confronted with his sin. There is a difference when we are confronted with our sin versus we go to the Lord for mercy and confess it without being confronted. Look at the scriptures. There's a big difference. when you are confronted with sin and then you confess it. You are confronted by God about your sin and you confess it. There's always consequences that follow. You see that with David. You see that all through the Old and New Testament. But when you realize that you have sinned and you go to God for mercy, the Bible says that He will abundantly pardon. Amen. When we trespass, we fall short, but we go, Lord, forgive me. And we don't need any prompting from God. We don't need any prompting. We know we've done wrong. And then we go. But people that harden themselves against the conviction of God, and then they're confronted with their sin. They can't escape it. Then they confess it. Achan was confronted by his sin. And he confessed it. He cried, well, I confessed it. I did wrong. Everything's going to be okay. Not so. That's not what happened. You know, and we think that we can hold out on God and hold on to our sin and hold out. And then when God comes down to crunch time, we're confronted over our sin. And we finally confess it. Well, God is able to abundantly pardon and He'll forgive us. And we won't have any consequences. You're wrong. There's always consequences to sin. But when we cast ourselves upon the mercy of God, God is a merciful God. He will abundantly pardon. His consequence was severe. Achan was judged before the Lord. Not only to him, but his family, who had nothing to do with its taking. His children, his wife, his entire family, and all of his things. His tent and all of his things were destroyed and burned. That's a pretty severe consequence. You know, you look at it, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, in modern day new evangelicalism is like, well, you know, this was the law and this was, you know, God was a little bit severe here. God will always do right. Amen? The problem is with our thinking and view of it. And that this should be a wake-up call. Sin is serious. Sin is not something to be trifled with. And that brings to number three, be clean, not a reproach. Because Achan sinned and refused to confess his sin, he became a reproach to the whole nation. We only think that our decision will affect me. It's only going to affect me. It's only going to be my sin. It's going to be, and that's what the devil wants to think. Hey, it's going to be your sin, your private thing. It's okay. It's not going to bother anybody else. It's not going to affect anybody else. It's not going to be a problem. Well, I stand here right now as a pastor and counseled a lot of people, counseled a lot of broken families and broken relationships. I'm sorry. Sin consequences don't just affect you. They affect your spouse. They affect your kids. If you're a child, your sin affects your parents. It affects your other siblings. You know how many kids have gone to the devil because of mom and dad's secret sin that they wouldn't confess? Oh, it won't bother them. They don't even know about it. It still has an effect. You're opening yourself up. You're opening them up to the defeat and the attack of the devil. There's many a young person whose sibling has gone to the devil because of their secret sin. And they get to be older and they said, I was doing this. I was involved in pornography, or I was involved in stealing, or I was involved in lying, and whatever it was, no one knew about it. But my sibling, they went to the devil. They turned against God. And it's because of me. They turned to me and said, why did you do that? Because you were a liar and a sinner, and I turned against God because of you. Now, I understand everybody has an individual responsibility to God, but guess what? You can help somebody along the way. You can help somebody get down that road. Sin has an effect. Many broken-hearted parents, because their child has gone off into sin. Why? Because they wouldn't get right with God. They got, well, I'm right now. I'll get right now, Lord. It's too late now. You should have gotten right when you had the chance, when God spoke to you about it back then. Be clean, not a reproach. We also only think that God's consequences will come upon me. Well, the consequence is going to be mine and mine alone. I'll never forget, I was talking to somebody, this man who's in sin. And I said, you do realize the consequence that you're going to bring upon your family? He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. My consequence is going to be upon only me. I said, I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible... Oh, I'm just going to... They refused to get right and knew that he was going to bring consequences down on his family and didn't care. Didn't care. If you don't care about the consequence coming down on your family because of your sin, you have a serious sin problem that needs to be dealt with tonight. So let's take a look at who was affected by Achan's sin. First, Achan was, then Joshua. 36 men died by the hand of Ai, Achan's wife, Achan's children. These are all the people that were affected, that he didn't intend to be affected. And this is always the thing that goes, I didn't intend. Yeah, we know, but it doesn't matter. And Achan's like, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know I was going to be stoned. Hey, well, why are you doing this to my children and to my family? Because his whole family had been reproached. And he says, no, it's only on me. It's on me, not on them. And I'm sure he was screaming, no, not them too. But the consequence comes upon all. We can't control where the consequences go, because God is always right. You can be a reproach to your family. You can be a reproach to your church. You can be a reproach to the cause of Christ if we can refuse to confess our sin. Be clean. Tonight, in a moment, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. You have an opportunity tonight to examine yourself and say, Lord, try my heart. Search me. Try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. That should be the prayer of every Christian every day. Lord, if there's something wicked in my heart, I need to get it out. I confess it. I repent of it. Cleanse me from it. Then we can partake of the Lord's Supper worthily tonight. But if there's a secret sin in your life that you're not willing to confess, well, I'm just going to keep my sin. Don't participate in the Lord's Supper tonight. Just let it pass. If you're not going to get it right, you just let it pass. Because you will be partaking on worthily. And there's a consequence for that. We see in 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to read it in a moment. That there were people that in the church at Corinth, they had been abusing, they had been partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. They were guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sleep means dead. They had died. God had judged them and prematurely brought their life to an end because of their participating unworthily in the Lord's Supper. It is a serious thing to participate in the Lord's Supper. It's a joyous thing for those of us who are saved. If we've confessed our sin and done right, we can have great joy in it and a great remembrance and a great gravity to it of what Christ has done for us. It may not be a fearful thing. However, it is a holy thing. It is a holy observance. And we need to make sure that we have been cleansed and are holy before the Lord before we partake. Be holy, for I am holy. In a moment, we'll have our invitation time. Have an opportunity to get your life and your heart right with the Lord tonight. And then we will transition into the Lord's Supper. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes as we close in prayer tonight as we come to our invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for all the scripture verses that have been committed to memory and in the hearts of so many people here tonight. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful for that. I pray that you would bless us and help us tonight. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in our heart, that we would quickly confess it, get it right with you, dear Lord. And we know that you will abundantly pardon, you will cleanse, you will give us the victory. And I pray that you will bless our time in remembering the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, who shed his blood to pay for our sin. I pray that tonight we would be faithful and just, dear Lord, that we would be faithful to confess our sins. And you are just to forgive and to cleanse. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would be willing to do that this evening. We ask thy blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen.